Welcome to episode, I think 30, right?
I think we're 31 now.
31? No, oh. I thought you said the other one was 29 and a half.
Are we? Then we're definitely at 30 then. Let me look.
Okay, I don't know. Welcome to episode disorganized of the Just Keep Spinning
it's 30.
Podcast.
You're right. 30. It's 30.
My name is Andrea, or Drea, or any whatever, and I'm also here with...
My name is Andrew.
With Andrew, and it's just us again this week, so obviously, you know, everyone's still getting over the holidays and stuff, and we actually had family in town this weekend, so we spent tons of time with them. We did a lot of awesome things, and I'll get into a little bit of that later, but just really quick, our Instagram is Just Keep Spinning Podcast. Our email, if you want to send us suggestions, or you just want to say hi, or if you have music you want to feature on the show, because we did have some submissions that we have put on before, and we'll continue to doing that in the future. Just wanted to get the year wrapped up here for 2018, as we already did. Our email is justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. And you can also, like I said, we gave you the Instagram, and you can DM us on Instagram as well if you'd like. And if you follow any of our personal pages, you're more than welcome to DM us on there. So really quick, let me get into two events I wanted to highlight. So the first event is at the Van Buren, and it's actually on February 8th at 9 p.m. it starts, and it's called Gasolina, the Reggaeton Party. So I thought that was interesting, so I really wanted to put that out there just because you don't usually... I mean, I know there's spots and stuff here around, but it's actually like one of those... It looks like it's going to be similar to like when they do like the Selena or the Club 90s and things like that, so it's pretty cool. And you can get tickets at thevanburenphx.com. And the next event I wanted to highlight is the if you were into that whole post-hardcore, the screamo emo scene, this band has been still around. They never stopped. They kind of had lineup changes, not to the lead singer, but they're definitely what many people would consider a classic band, with at least three classic albums to their name, Taking Back Sunday. They're doing their 20th anniversary tour, so it looks like they're putting out this album called 20. And it just says like it's gonna be like a retrospective. It might have a few new songs. So it seems like they're gonna be reworking some classic songs. Not completely sure yet, but they're performing for two nights at the Marquee Theater, and it's gonna be Thursday, April 4th, and Friday, April 5th. They're still not clear on if like one night they're gonna do some like certain sets, and the second night's gonna be a new show. Not sure, but if we get additional information, I'll let you guys know.
I mean, hopefully they're playing a lot of the three albums that we always talk about is Tell Your Friends, Where You Want to Be, and Louder Now. Those are like the classic three albums. Everything after that was okay. There was nothing horrible. Some of it was kind of rough.
There was one album that I listened to a few times, and I was like, it wasn't like bad. I just didn't connect with it at all. I don't remember which one it was.
It's probably like AFI's Crash Love for me.
You pretend like it doesn't exist, but yeah. A lot of people talk trash about Louder Now, but it was still really good.
Yeah, I think the thing had a certain charm. I have one event to highlight, which is our event here at Ground Control. We'll be playing with Zia's Record Pop-Up Shop. It'll start at 12, it ends at 10. We'll be playing from 5 to 10 o'clock. And our friend DJ My God Complex, Ken, will be playing from 10 to 5 o'clock. So come, if you can come at any time, we'll be there hanging out.
10 to 5 o'clock. 10 a.m. to 5
p.m.? No, excuse me. 12 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Okay, I was like...
I'm all over the place.
I was like, that's a really odd time frame right there. But oh my gosh, I didn't even know that. He didn't even tell me. What a jerk.
If you...
But I'm happy because that was a good surprise. So thanks for saving that. I think he didn't purposely save it. We were just busy, so we never had a chance to talk.
It's actually on our Instagram.
On social media. I'm sorry. I killed the mic. I'm sorry if I killed your ears.
And so it's actually posted on our Instagram, so the link to them is there. But yeah, if you want to come say hi to us, see us there, have a drink, listen to some music, we'll be there hanging out. And you can buy some records. Zia said they're having some stuff. They've been saving some stuff specifically for these pop-up record stores. So
you should see I'm doing the Birdman hands right now.
Yeah, rubbing our hands together. But you know, it's 2019, Drea. Happy New Year to all of the listeners we do have. We really appreciate you guys coming into this year with us. We have a lot of stuff planned.
Yes, thank you so much for getting through 2018 with us and beginning 2019 with us. We really, truly appreciate everybody. Happy New Year. And I hope everyone, if they do celebrate any type of holidays through what's considered the holiday season, that they did have a great holiday season. And if not, you know what? I promise you it's going to get better. So whether it's your New Year's going to get better or your holiday seasons are going to be better. So it's every day is a new opportunity. That's exactly what I always try to tell myself, and I always try to tell other people too when they feel like, bless you. Blessings to Andrew. Sorry, hashtag about that. Bless you.
Sorry about that.
Do you feel blessed, Andrew?
Yeah. I feel blessed. Specifically myself feels blessed.
And just really quick before we move on, at ground control, can people, if you're not 21, because it's kind of like a brewery, you can, kids can come in, like it's kind of family. I don't want to say it's like super family friendly, but people are allowed to bring their kids, right? Because it's like a restaurant, basically.
Yeah, it's a restaurant slash bar slash, I mean, it closes at 10, so that tells you pretty much. I mean, and anything past 10 o'clock, you know, I listened to another podcast and they say if you're out past a certain time, you're asking for it. Like if you're out like at 1:30 in the morning and you
shouldn't have your children out at 1:30.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, so I think those are like more adult hours, but yeah, I think from 10, they close at 10 o'clock. I mean, I've seen kids there. I think Mimi, our daughter,
and it's in a suburban area.
Yeah, so it's in Goodyear. So, you know, come check it out. We'll be there.
Would you say bar slash restaurant?
Bar slash restaurant.
So whenever someone does that, they do like this slash that. I always think of, do you remember that movie Baps with Halle Berry?
No.
No? Oh my God. I gotta watch it with you. We'll watch it. I used to watch it all the time. But there's like their boyfriends. They're like, because they inherit that money, right? Okay, spoiler. Sorry if you haven't watched that. So they inherit the money at the end of the movie. I'm sorry. Andrew is like, woman, you keep blowing the mic out. Chill out. So they inherit the money at the end of the movie. And whatever, it shows like the endeavors that they get into. So they're boyfriends end up opening up like a taxi cab slash page a cab, or I don't know, it's like all these slashies. Whenever someone does that, that's what I always think of.
Is that the one where they go booyah in her hair?
Yes, that is the movie. So like, you more remember it a little bit more?
Yeah, I've watched it with you. I just don't remember very much of it.
She calls the butler Alfred.
Yeah, she calls the butler Alfred.
Like, Alfred, who's Alfred? And she's all, you know, Batman's homeboy.
Yes.
I love that movie. So,
oh, man.
But anyhow, moving on from movies, because this is a music slash records podcast. Know what? I'm going to look if they pressed that soundtrack.
Did they?
I don't know. I said you should look it up, or I'm going to look it up later. Because now I'm curious, because I loved that movie.
I mean, we always talk about soundtracks and how, I mean, but is it actually a quality soundtrack? Like, what do you know that's like notable on there, I suppose?
I mean, I got the Nothing to Lose soundtrack, and that's because it had the remix to the Not Tonight remix, the Little Kim remix, which is known as the Ladies Night remix, that has like Little Kim, Left Eye, Missy Elliott, you know what song I'm talking about. Yeah, so I'm like, you know, I don't know, I love soundtracks, which I don't know if we've did an episode on soundtracks specifically, which we'll probably do soon.
Yeah, we talked about that for this week's episode, but we're like, well, I think we did compilations, so it's kind of falls into it, but I think we want to do one specifically on soundtracks and maybe some of our favorite soundtracks. Maybe do our first top to us.
Yeah, and it's so hard to do a top, like, because we always talk about wanting to do lists, but it's so difficult, I think, with music, because there's other podcasts out there where they do lists, but they're, the content of their podcast is so like super specific that it's like it's easier to have a top, where music is something so mood driven, especially or time.
Well, and it's kind of based off your taste, but if you pick a specific genre of music, you kind of can make it based off of that. Like saying your favorite albums of all time, that's really hard because it can be all over the place. But if you could say like your post, like your would be like your face post hardcore screamo bands, like your top 10 of those, I probably can pick those top 10 if I needed to.
Is there even 10, be honest?
I mean, there's 10 in there. I think, I mean, there's probably a few of the same
But then it gets blurry because music, it's okay, like shoes are shoes, or shoes are shoes, so they're shoes. But like with music, if you're breaking it down by genre, like the lines can get blurred and all weird. I see, so it's, but like, yeah, but you know have what
to,
I'm saying?
See, it's all, it's to us, and it would be to us specifically, so it's based off of our taste. So, you know, but I think it might, and actually might give, you know, give some of the listeners something to talk about with us, and they can talk mad junk or stuff or whatever they want to say about our list. But maybe that's going to be a different day.
So, really quick question. What are your top, in no particular order, but what were your top brand new albums that you listened to that came out last year? Is there anything that comes to your mind?
No. I mean, not because I don't listen to much, like, top 40 music. And I haven't really listened to very much new music as it is. Not because I haven't. Not because I'm so, like, anti-radio or top 40, just because I haven't listened to anything. I've kind of just been focusing on what I've been trying to, like, collect. So, as a new album, I can't even think
of it. Yeah, I'm specifically talking about new music. I'm not talking about top 40, just, like, some of the albums. I guess I'll just name my albums, then, off the top of my head, since you don't have any. Well, you have one. Is on my top list that I know will be on yours. Charles Bradley Velvet.
Yeah, Black Velvet.
Yeah.
So, which was a new album,
yeah. See, he had one.
See, I did have one. That just goes to show that I don't know shit.
Don't say that's not what I'm saying. You just forgot.
This day in music, we haven't done it. In this week in music, I have to do my top 10.
Okay, we're going to get... I will continue the conversation and tell you my top favorite albums of 2018, just really quick. I'm not going to really elaborate on each, but let's let Andrew do his segment. Before you do that, did you have any new pickups?
The only thing I picked up was a Chicano Soul book.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Shout out to
Palabras Bookstore.
Palabras Rosie.
Yes.
The queen of books over there.
Yes, we picked up a book from her. And I've been collecting soul, but I want to know more about Chicano Soul. But here in Arizona, it's not that we don't have people who don't collect and know a lot about it. Though some of those people are very, very selective of who they tell their information to. So instead of me trying to talk to them or try to build a relationship, because, again, some people in Arizona just don't have the time, or they feel very protective of themselves or whatever.
For whatever reason.
So I'm going to try to find different outlets and connect with other people. So I'm going to read this book and see how it works out.
And it's by Ruben Molina. And you can actually, I believe, get it at Palabras. And if they don't have it, I know that you can ask her to order it for you and she can get it.
Yes, if you're a local here. But so the year I chose was 2004. Which is the year we met, and the year we graduated.
The year we technically met, yes.
So,
Bolan knew each other.
2004, This Week in Music, 2004. Number 10.
Am I going to cringe a lot and have bad memories or good memories?
I don't know. We'll find out.
If you didn't know me yet, all the memories are bad.
Honorable mention, No Doubt It's My Life is number 11.
Okay, I am.
Number 10 was Beyonce, Me, Myself, and I. Number 9 was Twista, Kanye West, and Jamie Foxx, Slow Jams. Mm-hmm. Three Doors Down, Here Without You. I didn't even know Three Doors Down had another song other than the Kryptonite song. Mm-hmm. Number 7, Sugar Sugar, Baby Bash.
How'd you get so fly, that one?
Sugar Sugar, I don't know. Frankie J.
What's the title of the song?
Sugar Sugar.
Yeah, Sugar Sugar, how'd you get so fly? I know that.
Okay, number 6, Jagged Edge. Walked Out of Heaven. Mm-hmm. Number 5, Stand Up, Ludacris verse featuring Shauna. Mm-hmm. Add an X-ray, sorry.
Remember, I don't know the list because he's reading it and I don't know what it is.
And I have trouble reading names.
That's okay.
Number 4, You Don't Know My Name, Alicia Keys, Your Girl.
I want to say Alicia's my girl, but that song is my jam, yes.
Number 3, Milkshake, Khalees. I have a story about Khalees. Well, that song in particular. Mm. there was just a girl in class.
That song about milkshake? Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that was that year. Number 2, The Way You Move, Outkast featuring Sleepy Brown. And number 1, Hey Ya, Outkast.
So really, Big Boy 2, Andre, number 1.
Yeah. If anybody doesn't know, the speaker box and the Love Below was a split.
I want to say, for Valentine's Day 2004... two things that I got from this dude was 2 boxes of strawberry Pop-Tarts. cards. We weren't dating to like any comedy. So it worked out somehow, right? The countdown related, but he bought me the CD of the Speaker Box and the Lovey
Love. Which is funny. We were just at Target telling our daughter about what we bought each other.
Because there was some Pop Tarts that we were explaining it to her. So it's funny that it actually kind of came full circle our day.
So quick sidebar on this Khalees milkshake. So there was a girl, and she was very sweet, but she was funny. She thought like Tupac was still alive in like
an island.
Yeah, she still thinks that she would swear to it, and like even her thesis statement in for like senior paper was about Tupac.
No,
yeah, I'm serious. But she's like, all the dudes be talking about my milkshake, and I was like, what? And she's in, you know, so she started elaborating about what she was talking about.
Well, did you know what the song was about at
the
time?
Yes, I didn't know what the song was about. And I was like, you shouldn't be, you know, going around telling people that. She's like, I don't give a fuck. And I was just like, listen, I'm just telling you, that's not something you want to be talking about. And so, like, one time it came on in class, like, the teacher walked out, so, like, they played music in class. And she was, like, singing it and, like, dancing to it. And she was, like, doing the have to charge, and she was, like, rubbing her hands, like, with money. And I was just like, okay, this is too much right now. But I just remember that girl specifically in class talking about.
And every time you hear that song, it makes you think of that?
Yeah, just that instance. I'm like, oh, that girl really liked that song, and she really liked talking about.
I think Andrew was just jealous because Andrew knows that he was the real slutty milkshake.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
I didn't. And that's Andrew's DJ name, Slutty
Milkshake. It's never going to be my DJ name.
So but, I'm not calling the girl slutty. It's basically Andrew was bestowed the name Slutty Milkshake by a really amazing person. And it was honestly, from what the person told me, it was just like some random two words she put together because she's very like that. She's just very hilarious and she says funny stuff. So Shannon, which I know you're not listening, but that is actually who gave Andrew the name. Like God, a million years
ago. I completely forgot about that. I totally 2 seconds ago. But yeah. Yeah. Let me go ahead and talk about your list. Let me see. Let me look at this. What came out this year?
Okay, so some of my top albums for this year were, of course, because sometimes I can't really do a good ranking of like the top 10, top 5. But sometimes I can say I know for sure my number one is this, and everything else is like, you know, number 2 or whatever. But my number one for sure, it was really hard because so much good stuff came out. It was the Blood Orange album. So that one, not Negro Swan, that one was definitely number one. I don't know how it has not really won awards and how it's not on people's, like some publication I see it's on their top list, but not very many. And a lot of people said they felt like he sold out on it, which is really stupid. The production was beautiful, the lyrics, the artistry, because, you know, Dev is someone who's really, I believe, a true artist. Like, my brother is obsessed. He's 19, and he's so obsessed with Frank Ocean. And I love Frank Ocean very, very much. And I think he's a wonderful artist. But even my brother, who loves Frank Ocean, and Frank Ocean is, like, his number one, said, Blood Orange is everything that they give Frank Ocean credit for. And not that they're the same, but he just means as far as, like, true artistry and, like, 100% talent, like, Blood Orange is number one, and then Frank is 2 if you had to rank them. So definitely check that album out. It's so beautiful, the message behind it, everything. Another album was Licky Lee's So Sad, So Sexy, which it kind of, I guess the title might sound funny and weird to some people, but it has super awesome album. Her last album I did like, but the other two, the first two, I liked a lot more. And I don't know, she just gave a really great effort. And that one too slept on a little bit under the radar. Another album was Lake Kelly 47 Acrylic, which that album is actually real slept on. So it's like a rap album. Lake Kelly, I think, is from Queens. When I was listening to her, Andrew's like, is this Nicki Minaj? I'm like, no, but I could see how he thought that her voice
sounds very similar.
I and Andrew doesn't follow Nicki Minaj, so he doesn't know if something's actually Nicki Minaj or not, but I could see what he's saying, like the inflection in her voice and stuff. But also the Kelly Uchis album, that one was super good too. And that was like, you know, There's just so much. There's so much good music out there, and I know there's other albums that I know I listened to. Oh, Liberation by Christina Aguilera. I actually really did like that one. Amazing production again. But like I said, there's usually always good albums out. That's why I always hate when people say like, "Oh, there's no good music." You know, there's good music out there. You just kind of look for it. And of course, like we said, the Charles Bradley album. But yeah, that was some really good music that actually was brand new that came out last year. Also, Anthony Green's Would You Still Be in Love? That was another good one. That was a really short album. It was only like 9 songs. But yeah, oh. And I also listened to, did you listen to the AFI, The Missing Man?
No, I know it came out, but I did not listen to it. It was just an EP. I didn't listen to it. I'm not going to lie.
It was only 5 songs, but it was really, really good.
I'm sorry. I'm just like trying to browse around and see like what other... Like, I always like going on Pitchfork, even though, like, their writers are horrendously, like, biased, and see what they think. And, like, I'm looking at their top 10. I'm like, I have not heard any of this stuff on here. But, like,
The Black Panther, sorry, album came out. Yeah, that was really good.
That was really good. Cardi B came out this year.
Oh, yeah. I liked, like I said, I was a good, what I would consider a pop album. And then Icarus Falls by Zayn. You know how long that album is?
No, I didn't even know Zayn had an album this year.
27 songs.
That's probably why I haven't listened to it.
And it was, the songs weren't bad, but I had listened to the whole album and it's kind of forgettable. I feel like he's not really at a point in his career where he can put out a 27 song album, and he does nothing to promo it, so that doesn't help. Oh, and then Mariah Carey's Caution, that was another. I felt like it was classic good Mariah Carey. It was a short album, 10 songs. So it was really, you know, it was an easy pill to swallow, so to speak.
Okay, sorry. Yep, I am definitely having trouble with this computer right now.
And like I said, I know there's other stuff that
Janelle Monáe's Dirty Computer came out this year, but that album was okay.
Did you like the Teyana Taylor album?
It was all right.
This year, last year, technically. Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Like the Lil Wayne, the Carter 5 came out. The album was okay.
Oh yeah, but there was one. Yeah, that song with Kendrick.
Yeah, really that song was freaking.
That was like the standout track.
J. Cole's K.O.D., which that one was pretty good too.
I actually
the Carters. Everything is Love.
That was forgettable. I'm sorry. I love Everybody Loves Beyonce.
I mean, I'm just kind of just going through like what I see. Migos. I don't listen to Migos, but you know, people listen to that. Kitsy Ghosts. I mean, these are just like...
That was the Kanye Cudi collab. And really quick, the Cardi B, I felt like it was a great, like, you know, beginner's effort, I guess you can say. But there was three, to me, it was the standout tracks were... I know everybody's Moneybag and stuff, but they were Bickenhead because of obviously the sample. I like it because of the sample. And a song that I felt like they should have released, because they just like released it, but they should have released it more towards the fall, and I felt like it would have done better, was Ring. It had Kehlani on the hook, and it was more like slow jam-esque. So they just released it at the wrong time.
Oh yeah, Drake Scorpion came out, which I listened to pretty much the whole album. It was okay. Nothing great. The Kali Uchis book, yeah, I never listened to it, but I hear it's really good.
I thought you listened to that one song that Bootsy was on.
I listened to that one song that Bootsy was on. Do you know Mitski, Be the Cowboy?
I've heard of Mitski.
Yeah, that's supposed to be like the best album of the year, but yeah, I didn't listen to it. Also, Travis Scott, Astroworld came out, which was also forgettable for me. I don't know how you feel about it. But
Freddie Gibbs, did you listen to Freddie Gibbs?
No.
But, Pusha T, did you listen to Pusha?
I didn't. Yeah, see, I listened to part of Pusha's. There was a lot of stuff that came out this year, and that goes back to what we were talking about. It's really hard to do like a top list, or even like top. You know, that's why the people like I was going through some of the lists for this past 2018, and everything's like top 50. And it's just like, you know, that's how much music comes out because artists can release. There's so many like different genres of music, and if you're not like on top of like your music taste or whatever, or just like on top of music. It's really, really hard to keep up. And, you know, we have full-time jobs and stuff like that. So it's really hard sometimes to catch every album. But, you know, we listen to a shitload of music. Dre especially listens to more music than I do.
Yeah, I'm just crazy. Like, I don't know what it is. I've always been that way. But sometimes I'll take, you know, breaks and listen to podcasts. But I'm always listening to music. I'm like, but like I said, to me, like... there's plenty of albums that I actually listened to that are brand new this year, but the ones that I named off were pretty much the ones that I listened to a lot all the time repeat pretty much almost from beginning to end, with the exception of the Cardi B album, Invasion of Privacy. Like I said, that one was more, I listened to the tracks that I liked on it, and that was it. I mean, I don't, nothing against Cardi B. I don't hate her. I don't love her. I'm just like, you know, she has her place in pop culture and music right now. But do you ever feel like you're becoming like that guy that's like, I don't listen to anything new?
I feel that way sometimes. That's why I try to listen, make sure I listen to different things. Like the Ariana Grande Sweetener, I didn't listen to
it. Oh, shoot. That's another thing that I did listen to that was actually pretty good. But I don't know. I'll say my opinion on Ariana a little bit later in a few minutes.
I mean, I listened to part of it. I just can't get into it. It's not because I just can't get into it. And that even with, like, I know people were raving about certain albums. I mean, there's people who were, like, jumping out of the window for, like, the Travis Scott album and or even the J. Cole album. They were good, but they weren't, like, changing my life. And I don't know if it's because I'm older or if it's I mean, I always just kind of wrap it up to, like, that music's just not made for me, I guess. But, you know, yeah, like, I know there's certain albums that I probably did miss out on that I probably should go back and listen
and
to.
And guess what? You can always go back and listen to them. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But I think there's something special about experiencing that the in the moment, like, of like when something is actually initially released and you getting to listen to it. Then, like, an album, for instance, that I don't like, let me see, how do I say this? Okay, Kanye West 808s and Heartbreaks, when that album came out, I loved that album. I listened to it all the time. I remember it got kind of, people felt kind of weird about it from what I recall. And a lot of people didn't like it. It seemed like it was kind of polarizing. People either loved it or they just thought it was complete trash. But listening to that album, I just listened to it again in full the other day. I hadn't revisited it in a while. And it still sounded so good and so fresh. And there was something different about, I think, experience it at that time when it did come out versus revisiting it. And I don't think that it can't mean the same to somebody. Like, I listened to 808 and Heartbreaks when it came out, and someone could discover it later and somehow relate to it or connect to it or whatever. And I'm not saying that my connection is better, but there's just something special about that, says something about a certain time in history or a moment. Maybe history is not the right word, but just a certain time that speaks to that time when something comes out. You know, so I don't know, the album was just really, really good, and it was something that I had really connected to at the time, and then I guess I still do. It still resonates with me. And I know, you know, that, and that album, when you look at it, it was a huge marker, and it was the beginning of a shift in rap, I guess you could say, by the way it was presented and the production on it. You know, it wasn't a pure Kanye album. It was basically, like, to me, like, when people say, like, Kanye did influence and shift rap, but it was more Kid Cudi doing it under the guise of Kanye. So, but I mean, either way, I'm not talking down. I'll mean that in a negative way, but, you know, I really connected and liked that album. So, not that, you know, and if someone listens to it today and they never heard it and they come to me and they're like, oh my God, like, did you ever listen to 808 and Heartbreaks? You know, I think it's so good. I wouldn't tell them, like, oh, you know, I did. And I actually did when it first came out. It's like, that's irrelevant. But I'm just saying there's just something special about connecting to it in that moment. I'm trying to think of things that I listened to later. Obviously, classic tunes, like, you know, 80s, a lot of 80s stuff, especially things by The Cure. A lot of that music I connect to and I really love. And, you know, I didn't experience it when it first came out, you know, especially the early 90s, 80s stuff, because I either wasn't born or I was just born. I was really little, but it's still special to me. But I'm sure the people that were living in that moment and experienced those moments with the bands brand new, you know, have a different, you know, connection to it, so to speak. But it's so hard to, like you said, to rank albums. It's just like asking what's your favorite children, like rank your children. You got five. Which children are your favorite? And, you know, it's like an impossible task. There's good and bad to every child. I guess not bad, but there's good positives and, you know, pros and cons to everything. So it's hard to rank it in that sense. And are there any albums? I think we already talked about this vaguely, though. There's albums that you listen to, not when they came out, but later, and you're like, oh my god, like I missed out, but I'm really not because I'm listening to it and loving it now.
Yeah, I mean, I always ask people, and which is funny because it's like the post hardcore scene. The Used album, I forget which album it is. It's like, but basically, like their big album.
I don't know if that was their debut, but yeah, the sharp bottle box of sharp objects and that stuff.
Let me get the name for a bit. Yeah, but that album.
I was just listening to that again actually the other day.
Yeah, so I never listened to them because when I was very much younger, obviously, I was like the complete like I don't listen to that stuff because that's fucking lame and stuff like that. So I was kind of an asshole when it came to certain things like that.
A judgmental kid.
Yeah, I was. And, you know, it comes with being a young kid without, you know, I was just kind of a jerk.
That's why I said kid.
Yeah, you're young. I was just being a kid. And I missed out on it. So years and years later, probably about like 3 or 4 years later. Not 3 or 4 years, like, you know, way later. That's just sort of self-titled. I went back and I listened to it. Because obviously they had like the big hits off of there, and I listened to the whole like album as it was. It's like, you know, 10 years later, and it was actually really, really good. And I missed out on that whole album, and so I run into that kind of that stuff a lot, especially during that time period of stuff I completely missed out on because I wanted to be like a fucking teenage asshole and not just, you know, not explore and expand my palate.
And I actually saw The Used live during that era, and it was really, really good. I remember I got a t-shirt from my friend, and I gave it to her. She requested it, but she couldn't go. But they were really, really good. But beyond that, I didn't really care for anything. But that one album, to me, is good enough where they made their kind of impact on that style of music. And some other bands, I know, I think that I could speak for Andrew, just a second, he can correct me if I'm wrong, is obviously Brand New, especially The Devil and God, and he'll never admit that there are some, that Deja is a really good album, because he wants to be like, oh, everybody liked Deja, Mike started for singing, not swinging, da 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 da, stuff like that, because he's mad about that comment, still to this day is a little sour, because he's a little TBS boy, and, which is funny, because we're talking about the Taking Back Sunday show at the beginning of...
It always comes full circle.
See, everything's coming full circle today. But, and then, obviously, Under Oath.
Yeah.
Which you did... What's hilarious, though, is that I think he liked Under Oath a lot when I first met him. And I think it was just one of those things where he kind of got out of touch with that style of music for, like, a short period of time. And he listened to it more casually. But then when he went back and re-listened to all of it, he's like, yeah, like, I remember this. Like, it was better than I remember, right?
Yeah, I think that's more or less what it was. But,
Why are you doing, don't do the voice, don't do that voice.
we were talking a little bit before we started recording about what goals, not like our personal goals, but like musically, what are goals this year? What are some of your goals musically this year?
First and foremost, I want to learn the triangle. I'm just kidding.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry. I'm like,
I want to be a mad tambourine player at the end of this year.
We're going to be an amazing duo. We're going to be a real Captain and Tennille, or Sonny and Cher. Shout out to Michelle. Some of my goals this year are, I have so many 12s. So it's to go through my 12s and maybe sell or get rid of some of the ones I don't really use as much, and to get some of the 12s that I've just been missing off my list that I haven't been able to find digging around, and I'm going to just go on Discogs and get them. It's just at that point now. And to actually buy more LPs and buy new LPs of things that I want. Like, out of all those albums that I talked about that were so amazing that I listened to over and over in the beginning, the only one that I actually bought was the Negro's one.
Yep. And bought that from Stinkweeds. Shout out to Stinkweeds. Any other goals beyond that?
I mean, for my own personal musical goals, like, just work more on my skills, work, you know, Ed and I continue as the duo was the Crate Creepers, and for us, because like I said, that's a joy and it's just fun for us. So to continue with that and for us to get better, and you know, it's not, like I said, it's not so much about the collecting. I mean, I like to collect, so to speak, obviously, but it's not about amassing the greatest or the biggest collection. It's just getting things that I love to play and playing them out. And we actually, just really quick, I played a gig at Palabras for our first Friday event that I did mention a few episodes ago. And it was really fun. It was really awesome. There was an amazing turnout. The art was so good. Jeff had some pieces there, and the other two artists had their pieces there. And I don't know, it just felt like it was a really good night. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought the turnout was really, really good, and the vibe was really good.
And yes, we had the Navajo Burger, and it was amazing.
Yes, it was delicious, as always.
What about yours, your goals or resolutions?
Like I said at the beginning, I just want to educate myself better on the music I collect, just so I have a better understanding of it. Me being brown at all, I really want to understand the Chicano culture in soul music. So, you know, again, it's really hard to find people who know a lot of, not necessarily hard to find people, it's just hard to talk to people about it, because some people are very protective of it, or if they feel like you're not into it like they are, they're just kind of selective of who they talk to.
So when you mean by learn about it, like exactly what are you saying?
Just like learn more artists, learn how far it goes, where it started. Because, you know, everyone says it started here, it started there. It's just like lowrider culture. But just that in general, just learn more about soul music in general. Not just Chicano soul, but soul in general. Northern soul, Motown, all that stuff. So I'm going to start, there's a few books out there that I'm going to start purchasing and just reading throughout the year. Just making sure I know, and still collecting music in general. But I'm just trying to expand my palette as well and work on my blending and track selecting, because I'm not a DJ Drea.
I'm not a DJ either. I'm just a happy ass track selector.
But you know, I always think that having some type of goals for yourself for your year will help you work towards something. You know, we have our event on Saturday with Zia at Ground Control, and you know, we both, it's gonna be a long set. It's 5 hours. That's a long ass time we're both gonna be playing.
But we're happy to play. Like, we're excited because it's a different type of venue and event.
Yeah, so we're probably going to do a 2.5 hours each, but just split it up in a 1.5 hour block and then 1 hour block. But it's going to be really, really cool, because I think it would give us both the ability to kind of spread our wings a little bit and pick different music to play, because we have full control over the crowd and the music, instead of like just playing for a setting.
Yeah, and I know for all the stuff I have in mind that I want to play, I'm going to play all different kinds of stuff. I'm not going to limit myself. Another goal I have, actually, while you were talking, I realized it, was to put more of my mixes up. I feel like I don't want to put too many out there, but like once a month I'll put a mix on our Mixcloud, right? We have a Mixcloud?
Yes, Mixcloud, Just Keep Spinning.
Yeah, so and something that you were supposed to do last year that you did not fulfill, and I'm going to call you out right now.
So
you did not listen to more women artists. That pretty much, the reason why he ended up listening to Dirty Computer is because I ragged on his ass and I was like, you haven't been doing this, because it was something that he was supposed to be doing. And I understand, I forgot, because I forgot to continue ragging on him about it. So we both forgot.
Yeah, I did listen to more female artists.
But he did say, he did tell me, he's like, I actually really like Dirty Computer.
You mean, yeah, and I listened to, I never got around to listening to Kelly Uchis. You know, I got on it and then I got off it because I was listening to more podcasts, and then I was just like, it's hard to listen sometimes at work. Sometimes I'm able
to. The nature of his job.
Yeah, sometimes I have the ability to just sit and work and I have to worry about anybody talking to me. But lately it's been more or less I have to be busy and then I have to stop what I'm doing because someone's asking me a question. So I have to constantly take my earphones out, and then, you know, the people I work with, they don't necessarily have the same taste as me, and I'm not the type of person who wants to blast their music over somebody else's music. And so,
you don't have to have the aux, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, I don't have to have the aux. But, you know, I have a guy who wants the aux, and he listened to a lot of, I don't even know how to describe the rock music. It's like KUPD rock. I don't know. It's not my cup of tea, but it's okay.
It's not bad. He's just saying it's not for him.
So, and that, and classic rock is all we listen to all day, which is nothing wrong with that stuff. I listen to classic rock all the time. I do enjoy it. But listening to it 24/7 and listening, I only can listen to Led Zeppelin, Black Dog so many times before I get tired of hearing it. But but that is something, that is another goal, is to get back on that train and listen to more female artists.
Are you gonna try to make Go on.
No, I said women. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So you're gonna try to listen to more, you know, because the whole thing is that people frown upon the whole top 40. You know, so top 40, as everyone knows, it's basically the Billboard Hot 100 locally in Phoenix. What's playing on 104.7, or seems like almost every channel, pretty much, because we've had our radio episode before, and we talked about how Clear Channel came up, and just not even just here in Phoenix or Arizona, around the country, Clear Channel came and bought up stations, and everything's just so controlled and feels contrived sometimes. So, but listening to more pop music, is that something that you're going to try to do?
I mean, I wouldn't say listen to more pop music in general, but I think that it's something that if there's done, even if there is some popular song, I think you should be able to listen to it and not have to be, you know, worry about listening, basically get judged by people.
So what do you consider, on like, for you in your eyes, how do you define pop music? Like, what do you consider pop music?
I can basically consider anything that's constantly, like, if like you said, if it's a song that I listen to on the radio and I change the radio station, they're playing it on a different radio station, I consider that pop music, because usually it's top 40, and that's, you know, that goes across the board. It can be top 40 country music, top 40 pop, just top 40 Billboard Hot 100, hip hop, just all that. Like, I consider Drake pop music.
I do as well.
Because although he is, you know, has his following, and he's transcended the hip hop and R&B culture, as you would say.
I feel like Drake did a reverse, though. I feel like he actually started out as pop and worked his way more into the hip-hop rap culture. Do you know what I mean? Because when he came out, you know, everyone's like, oh, this corny kid from Toronto, yada, yada, yada. He was Young Money. But he was more, I feel like, marketed as the safe guy. Like,
well, his early stuff, I wasn't necessarily, I've never been a huge Drake fan. He had some good hits. He had some bangers. Especially when he was mostly like his better songs, a lot of them were his features on different, you know, DJs or whatever, different people's tracks.
Like, you mean like Khaled, yeah, being the producer?
Yeah. Those are like his more, standout songs to me. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess you are right though. He was like a safe bet, because like I said, he was this, you know, wheelchair Jimmy from Degrassi when he came out.
I mean, some people didn't even know about his Degrassi or whole the wheelchair Jimmy thing. Like I said, it was more about, you know, he looks to some people, you know, some middle America, he might look a little bit more non-threatening because he's a lighter skinned guy. But, you know, and unfortunately, that's a sad reality sometimes. So it was easier, I think, to market him in a manner of a certain way, because Drake's persona is that he's the nice guy, because he's always rapping about, like, I was done wrong and my heart is broken because this girl, even though he also raps about other stuff, but that's kind of what people cling to with his personas. He wears those dad sweaters, you know, that kind of things, because he basically, his team knows how to market him. So like I said, that's why I feel like he did the reverse. He came out as more of this like friendly pop act. Yes, he was rapping, because all pop music is popular. Some people, like of our generation that we're in, still consider like, oh, pop music is, you know, was things like Britney Spears or NSYNC. Yes, you know, that's generic pop music, but all pop means is popular. So, and just because something's popular doesn't mean that it's bad.
Exactly. I mean, there was a time where Kanye West said, you know, that someone needs to be the new king of pop, and he'll take that throne.
Yeah.
And he'll be the new king of pop, which basically he has become the new king of pop, because although his music is not good anymore, hasn't been good for a while, to me, that's just my opinion. You know, people love him, and they love his music, and they love his projects that he's doing with people, his 7-track LPs or whatever it is, or EPs or whatever.
Like Cardi B?
Yeah.
Pop.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, popular or pop music, it has its place, and there's nothing wrong with liking it. I'm going to try to listen to more, but a lot of it just doesn't catch my ear, I suppose. Not that it's bad. Like, we were listening to Cardi B earlier this weekend. It's not bad.
I was listening to Cardi, yeah. Andrew happened to be there.
I was in the car. You know, she had the aux cord. And, you know, what I listened to it on my own, No, I'm not going to listen to that on my own because I have no interest in it. But I'm not going to not listen to it or tell my wife to turn it off because that's not only...
You're not the immature, judgmental boy anymore.
Yeah, like, you need to turn this shit off. I'm done. I'll listen to it and, you know, I might make a comment or say, oh, that was good, or, eh, I wasn't a big fan of that song. Or I'll giggle because the lyrics are out of control because...
There's times Andrew and I have gotten into arguments about music.
Yeah, there was
heated discussions. Let's just say not arguments.
There was some pretty heated discussions. You know, usually have to do with Frank Ocean.
No, that is a lie. Andrew will think someone is singing, and I'm like, no, like, why would you think that? And it just snowballs from there. Like, I don't know. It gets rough.
But listening to more pop music, I'm going to try to listen to more. And, you know, hopefully people start releasing more music that is more my taste.
I mean, it's not people's job to cater to. Your job as a consumer to seek it out.
I'm going to work harder to seek it out. I will say that.
Well, yeah, that was one of your resolutions. So yes. I'll give that to you.
It's on my resolution to try to expand my palette a little more this year.
Yes. So, you know, and it's, I wonder if, do you happen to know, I don't think we could find, we were trying to find the top selling vinyl record albums. Did we find that?
So the only thing I found was like a UK chart. Usually there is one for vinyl sales. It's the Nielsen Music Era or Nielsen. They do something every year for like top vinyl sales. They haven't released it for 2018 because, you know, 2019 is only
for the US, you mean?
For the US. So I have the 2017 one, and which was weird because, you know, we thought about making this podcast in 2017 and just didn't come to fruition until 2018. But because we've seen how popular collecting was, and it has greatly increased this past year. I think it had increased like 19% at the first half of last year. And so I only can imagine how much it's increased for like the whole year.
You mean for 2018?
Yeah, 2018 in total. But what's weird is about this specific chart, I don't know if it counts like all record stores or if it just counts big box stores and Amazon and like online retailers.
I think it's just counting the... top brand new. So this isn't even counting used because there's no way they can tally.
Yeah, and they obviously they can't track every record store. They might be able to track it via distributor. So, but like in 2017, it was Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and they sold 72,000 copies of that LP new, which is...
That blows my mind.
Yeah, that's a lot to sell of one album. That one's fucking old.
Super old, yes. And not in a bad way.
Yeah, but 72,000 of those, you know, especially in a generation where instant gratification is there and you can just listen to it on Spotify or iTunes or whatever, to still sell that many albums, actual vinyl hard copies, it's pretty freaking cool. And I think that that's going to probably keep increasing over the years. I don't know what the number one... The UK chart was... what was that shit?
And obviously, you cannot compare it to
Climate Heroes. Yeah, it was like Arctic Monkeys.
Arctic Monkeys is number one in the UK for 2018 because they already had their stats released.
Yeah, because they actually have an official website that launched with Record Store Day, that
charts that stuff.
That charts everything that has to do with vinyl sales. But no, nothing for the U.S. yet. But they have like the vinyl sales for the albums on Billboard. Which is kind of neat, but so like this week the number one vinyl sale.
Well, countdown from 10.
Let me go to number 10. Honorable mention: Amy Winehouse, "Back to Black" was number 11.
Okay.
Number 10 was Trench, 21 Pilots.
You know who 21 Pilots is, right? That they sing that "Stressed Out." You've heard their song. They're one of those bands that sound like. You've heard them a million times, and you probably just don't even know.
Yeah, I'm sure I have. Number 9 is actually Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, The Beatles. Number 8 was The Beatles' White Album. Number 7, Purple Rain, Prince and the Revolution. Number 6, Legend, Bob Marley and the Wailers. Number 5, Abbey Road. Number 4, Rumors. Number 3, Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack. I think that's Awesome Mix, Volume 1. And then number 2.
It's Volume 1, not 2?
Let me check. Yeah, Volume 1. It's spent 160 weeks on the chart. And then number two is Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd. And number one is Thriller, Michael Jackson.
Honestly, I feel like I'm part of this problem, though. I mean, I haven't bought, and I've already owned a lot of those albums already that I've had. Or we, not just me. And it's not, I'm not saying that, and like, I'm like, oh, I already own those. I'm just saying, like, those are classic staple pieces. So I guess it's only natural if people start collecting. They're like, hey, I'm going to buy this. But I'm part of the problem, whereas, like I said, the only one that I have a actual record hard copy of is The Blood Orange. I don't have Liberation. I don't have the Caliuchis album. I don't have the Licky Lee. And part of it, too, though, is because it doesn't, it's not like, I mean, I think it's a little bit more common right now for artists like, okay, Anthony Green, that album that he has. So he's one of those people with every pretty much actor band he's associated with. So Circus Survive, his solo stuff, geez, it's slipping my mind. The band that he was in, that he left.
Salesen.
Yeah. So when something new comes out, he usually offers a bundle of, like, you can buy the record and a download, or the record download and shirt, or whatever. But, like, Licky Lee, she didn't have that. So it's like, I want to go buy it when it's brand new, but it's not there. And then I honestly just, it's like, I almost just forget. Like, I still don't have Control by SZA. Why? I don't know. But I should own that because yeah, I love that album. It's such a
good album. But I think I think the biggest thing is that we love to collect. But what right now, I think that's what more the difference is right now. Remember I had talked to you, I had to be conscious about what I'm buying. And that right now, I'm not playing Control SZA. I want that album, but am I going to play that?
You mean play it out
Just like play it out, or even just play it at home. Odds are, I'm not, because most of the time when I'm playing music at home, I'm listening to music that I'm going to play out, and I'm building a set. And I'm not playing that music out, not because I don't like that music, that's just not what I play. I play what I collect, or play what I'm into at that moment, and not because I don't like that album, because that was a great fucking album. I think it's the same with you. Now we're at the point where we're buying what we collect. We're buying what we're going to play out. And so unless there's something on there specifically that we want to play out, we ain't buying it. And it's not because we don't enjoy it or don't like it. It's just one of those things.
I don't think it's true. I think for me, it's more just like a budget thing. Like, you did touch on that, but it's more like, we always used to buy mostly LPs, and then we started buying 12s and 45s, and we still bought LPs, but we bought less LPs. And I'm kind of like back to like, God, I like, you know, I miss just, you know, we have pretty decent amount of album, like actual LPs to play on, but it's like, I miss being able to play through, or I hate when I want to play a song and I'm like, that's not on 12. Cause there's an album that I listen to and I'm like, I want that deep track. So it's like, I feel like this year I'm going to revert back to buying, like I said, more LPs. It's like when I was talking to Felix, and he's just like, hey, you know, there's a single and it was this much money. I put it back and I'm like, should I have done that? Like, he wasn't asking me like what to do. He was just having a conversation with me. And I was like, well, you can look at it one of two ways. I said, you can either, if you truly are like, that's the only song I like from, you know, whatever album that's on. Okay, then you can spend the, you know, $15 or whatever, how much the single is. But maybe you can pay like $5 more and get the whole album.
Exactly.
You know, and it's different too if you're like a beat maker, or, you know, because you want to get, you know, like a 12 or something that has like the instrumental or the 45 or whatever. So I get all that. Or maybe you only want to sample like the vocal, like an acapella, you know, and you know that's available on a 12. But it's just like comes to that spending point too, where you're looking at like the value of your dollar and you're like, I could spend $17 and get this one single that maybe has a few remixes on it or something, or I can spend like $5 more and I can get the rest of the whole album. So it just depends on how you're looking at it. And right now, because I'm more trying to be more budget conscious, because I'm just trying to be really good. And, you know, we've sold some stuff and got rid of some stuff recently that we were like, you know what, not that we don't like this, but we just think it's time for it to find a new home.
Yeah, we've been sitting on it for a few years and it's just been collecting dust. So it's fine. Probably about time for us to ship it off to where its new home.
Yeah, and sometimes we give stuff away. You know, it just depends. Like, if I know I have something that I like, but someone else really, really wants it, I'm just like, you know what? I know someone who specifically would appreciate this more. So, but I think that's, like, part of my goal and part of, like, my perspective of maybe why I hadn't bought LPs, because I was so hyper-focused on getting 12s. but I'm, like I said, I want to go back to buying LPs. And I don't care. I will go buy Invasion of Privacy. I know some people will give me the thumbs up on that. Some people will give me the finger on that. no one in particular. It's just I know that it's kind of like a polarizing picture or polarizing person in pop culture right now and music pop culture. But there's more than one song on there that I would definitely listen to. It's an album I can listen to all the way through, but not all the time. But there's definitely a few songs on there, like I said, that I really, really like. And I would like to play that song Ring out and about, but the only 12 I've seen is I Like It. So it's like, you know, there's quite a few songs I want to play out and about. So, excuse me, it's worth me buying the full record to me.
Exactly. I mean, I guess I can say I'm going to try to buy more compilations this year. So, like, obviously I collect different things. Excuse me. So right now what I'm just going to try to start focusing on what I'm going to collect, but there's these older Thump albums. I only have one volume and I want to collect all the volumes of that and then collect the like the little side ones they have, as well as try to get the rest of the East Side Stories this year, the reissues. Those are like the things that I really want to make sure I get this year, of like musically, because that's just what I want. But also, just like she said, like I said before, listen to more pop music and like try to understand it more, and stop being like the old guy just complaining about it, because I think that there's a lot of good music coming out. It's just you have to kind of seek it out. So,
well, it's kind of like how when we talked to Ken, that was last week, right? And he said, you know, to him in his eyes, the way he sees it is that there's still like rap hip hop music that he can enjoy, but maybe he doesn't always fully relate to it and whatnot, because he feels in his eyes, you know, it's a young man's game. So he's like, you know, there's some stuff I'll still enjoy, but I just don't connect to it in the same way. So that could be kind of what you're experiencing, of, you know, you not being able to maybe feel like you're unable to enjoy a beat and stuff, but you're only going to want to listen to that so many times. I think like the Pusha album, I listened to it and I liked it like when we were going to the gym still. So when I was at the gym, I was listening to it, and then it was more like, you know, not that I didn't want to listen to it while I was working or doing other stuff, but I don't know, it was just something that I felt like I liked to listen to in the gym. But yeah, so don't be afraid to listen to pop music or top 40 or whatever to, you know, admit you like it. You know, we want to know if you guys want to email us or DM us and tell us what your resolutions musically are this year. Go ahead, let us know. We would like to know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's our goal as this podcast, is to really reach out and to get to like know people who listen. We're really gonna make a strong push to get ourselves out there more. I know we talk about Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff, and we don't use it that much. We primarily use Instagram, but we're really going to buckle down and make it a focus this year as well. Obviously, we also have our personal goals that we're working on, but really, really promote this and really hopefully this year take it off. So hopefully you'll see us playing, maybe just as Just Keep Spinning, myself just playing, Drea just playing, or Drea playing with the Great Creepers. But you're going to see us out there, and we're going to try to get out there and talk to people, relate to people, and really get to know people, because that's what's gonna drive this culture to continue getting bigger and you know, getting to know people.
Yeah, and just like we said on our little sidebar episode, you know, we didn't do an episode to be negative or rude or mean or anything like that. It was just to put the reality out there of the stuff that, you know, the just the funny stuff that we run to that's just really silly. And we're just like, you know, the point of the podcast and us interacting with people is just like, so everybody, you know, we have these episodes where it's just him and I, and I enjoy doing them. I enjoy talking to you. And I'm, like I said, I'm grateful that you even listen to me blabber on. But, you know, the point is for us to document the history and the community that is here and to provide you with those stories, whether you're actually here or you don't live here.
Yeah, if you're in one of the other countries that happen to listen to us and you're a DJ and you're trying to, but you want to talk to us about music and you want to tell us about your collection or what you're into or anything like that, hit us up. Let us know. We'll interview. We'll figure it out. We will get you on and we will talk and we will make a time to talk to you so that way so you can share your stories and we can talk, because that's what this podcast is for.
Yeah, and if you have questions about your setup or just basic stuff like, hey, these speakers, we're always more than happy to talk about things like that.
Exactly. I just had somebody message me on my personal saying, hey, I'm interested in getting a turntable. What do you think is great? Entry level. I don't want to spend a ton of money, but I've been trying to get one because I think collecting records is so cool. Every time I watch your stories, they're just like so neat how you guys are just like hanging out and playing music, and he's like really into music, so it was really nice to talk to him, give him suggestions and tell him about different setups, because you know, not an analog setup isn't for everybody because it's not convenient. So I always tell people Bluetooth setups are fantastic for that. You know, sometimes you have to accept the fact that the times are changing and you can't just keep using analog setups, and that technology is going to keep moving forward, and let's move with the technology, but let's also keep in mind our where it came from.
Yeah, so with that being said, thank you so much for listening. Subscribe, rate, and review. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Deezer, CastBox, Audioboom. The link is in our Instagram bio, which is, our Instagram is Just Keep Spinning Podcast. Our email is justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. And, you know, we have a lot of stuff we want to get done this year, so we hope that you guys stay on this journey with us and that there's more people that are on this journey with us. And we just appreciate you listening. And when you guys leave feedbacks, when you like a picture, even anything like that, when you guys share things with us, we're just so grateful and happy for all the experiences that we've had and that we've been able to have and achieve via the podcast. And just thank you so much for support. It really appreciates it, especially on days where, like, you know, we do put work into this and, you know, for a minute, you know, a little bit there, just, you know, getting things off the ground and stuff. And we still have plans to continue to grow it because, like we said, we have goals and things like that and other things in the works. So is there anything else you want to say, Andrew?
No, I'm good. Just rate and review, subscribe, all that good stuff, wherever you can.
Yes, so don't stop taking and just keep spinning.
Thanks, guys.